to know anything about college football? Consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Charles Arbuckle joins us Tuesdays right here in this slot. And Buck, have you had the time to digest the Supreme Court NCAA ruling on Monday?
Hey, Bill, I've read four articles, and I'm still trying to dig into it. Because it's fascinating kind of where we're going to go with this, right? I mean, it's they basically just said, look, you guys have played the song and dance long enough in layman's terms, right? And now we want you to disclose how you're going to allow name, image, and likeness and all the other things, it's other facets that are brought into it. But what was interesting, it now allows, it kind of pulled back the curtain on the NCAA, which I think was the most fascinating piece for me, because they have been able to hide behind amateurism for a number of years. Now, the flip side to that is, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to just open the floodgates up, because I think they've almost stopped short of the line of making players employees. But how does the NCAA respond to try to do that? This is not going to be the last thing we hear of this, and that's what I think is important. So you read it each time. I don't know about you, but each time I've read this information, I find another little loophole that I can see happening, or another thing that can happen, and you have to make sure you put parameters around that. If you're the governing body, which is the NCAA, but they don't seem to have much power, or as much power as they did before this ruling yesterday.
I every time I read it, I find new little tidbits, as you mentioned, and then I further get confused at the same time. I'm not sure what all that meant. I mean, I guess I do know what it meant, but I don't know what it means and how soon it means.
That's the part for me that still I think we have to digest, right? And there's people way smarter than me, so I try to look at what they're saying and what they talk about the ruling, and even some of their information seems to be okay. They're somewhat confused, but they know what this says. I think the other big thing too is that, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about name, image, and likeness. I know that people think, hey, everybody's going to get paid. Not necessarily. I'll just use an example. Just recently, if Johnny Manziel's on that team with Mike Evans, as good a player as Mike Evans is, who's going to make the most money out of that deal when they were in college? Probably Johnny Manziel, right?
Johnny Football.
Yeah. So players are going to get paid, but I can remember seeing a whole bunch of number 8 jerseys at UCLA for Troy Aikman, and I saw some 81s, but I saw a whole lot of 8s. So if it was, I would have probably gotten a deal here or there, but nowhere near the deal that Troy would have gotten, or Rodney Feet across the way at USC at the time when they were battling for Heisman Trophy, you know, place. So I just start, look, I try to equate it back to my day and time and understand, okay, how would this apply if I were, you know, if this was 86 to 90? That's kind of how I have to look at it too, but you know, I think this whole mantra of everybody's going to get paid, there'll be quite a few guys that can get some money and make some money and maybe have some things that they didn't have. But I still don't think everybody's going to get paid like the top player at those universities will. And I think that's the part you have to also start looking at. Strategically look at how this is going to affect universities and how it's going to come after, how that's going to look. And I think that's the other part, Bill. The states opening up to name, image, and likeness. I think there's 7, and they're starting. Let's see how quickly that happens. And I think you and I'll be talking about that until the season, because if that doesn't change, then that gives a competitive advantage to, i.e., Alabama, Auburn, and the state of Alabama, or Texas A&M and Texas. Those schools or those states now have to be on board, and I think that's the other part of this ruling that was always interesting to me. They're allowing the states to kind of play a little bit of a role, and I want to see how that happens and what that does for college recruiting.
Charles Arbuckle joins us. You're over there in ACC country geographically. Did you know NC State was such a good baseball club?
Man, I've known historically how good they are, but I didn't know this year how talented they were. I mean, I watched that game last night. I was locked in. And after that home run, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I know Vandy has some bats that can swing it. They got, you know, 12 home runs here, 15 home runs there. And NC State's pitching was nasty. I was like, whoa. I mean, that was a really good college baseball game, other than the fact that if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you couldn't generate any runs. But well, that was Al Leiter's son, right, that was dealing on the mound too, right? Eight innings, I think 125 pitches. I mean, he was dealing as well, just made one mistake, and kid, you know, jacks him out of the park. Got out of that. I tell you what I love. When it was bases loaded and they were able to work out of that one, whew. I mean, that game was it wasn't the runs that you used to seeing, but it was such a good baseball game played by some kids that are, you're going to probably see some of those guys at the next level now with the way they can swing the bat, the way they can pitch and do some of the other things. But I did not know NC State was that good this year. I really did not.
Notre Dame pretty much dominated the ACC in baseball. They're not even in it now, but they dominated the regular season.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, I think there was a lot of discussion going into the World Series that Notre Dame was almost a lock, right, to get to Omaha in the sense of how they had played in the regular season. That just goes to show you, man, do you have enough arms? Do you have guys that are peaking at the right time defensively? And, you know, can you generate runs? I mean, I think we're seeing the best pitchers pitch now, right? We talked about Kumar, and then you see Al Leiter's son. The kid from North Carolina State was, what, 96, 97? I mean, there was some, you know, it was some good stuff that was happening last night from a baseball perspective. And I think that's what I love about, you know, watching college sports in particular, you know, sports that I like to watch. Track and field just happened. The track and field championship happened last week, which was always good to watch as well. Now you have the Olympic trial. So I know football isn't taking place, but we got a few things now that are heating the sports scene up a little bit, though.
Georgia Dog on the Emerald Coast says, ask Buck what kind of matchup problems defenses will have when Georgia trots out 6'7", 260, Darnell Washington at tight end, and 6'5", 250, Eric Gilbert, kind of as a hybrid wide receiver tight end.
Yeah, I think what it does is if you look at those, I mean, you can look at the pros and see how it's affected teams. Like, just think of it in these terms, not in a DK Metcalf kind of way, but if Eric Gilbert matches up and becomes a big slot guy like that, and he can play, you know, finally find a home, because that's been his problem, just, you know, settling and being able to grow into it. If you have a guy like that can, you can do a lot of 12 personnel, but you have a matchup problem with a guy that's got athletic ability, and Washington, who's supposed to be pretty athletic as well, they can kind of do some things in the middle of the field. That forces you to bring people down, and a lot of times now, these hybrid safeties aren't as good as cover guys. They're good, but they're not quite as good, and that's where you have your matchups. Or if you try to match him up with a nickel cornerback, he's got a body. He can just turn around 10 yards, and he's going to be able to box somebody out. So it creates some things. If Georgia, here's the thing with Georgia. Are they going to use their weapons the way they can and should? And I think that's been the biggest issue for me with Georgia the last few years. Finding a way to be a team offensively that can generate some things. If now that they have, it looks like everybody in place, that could cause some problems. And I think we'll see how that looks early in the season for them. And I'm interested to watch them, really come out more offensively and challenge people there, so their defense can still fly around the ball like we know they will, but their offense can play a bigger role and maybe make some, put some pressure on some teams more so than they have sometimes in the recent past.
Buck, we were talking the other day. We are less than a month away from, for example, the SEC football media days.
How about that? Isn't it crazy? Well, doesn't it feel like this, Bill? Every year when we see the championship game, right, who said, man, got a while to wait for football. And then all of a sudden, we're looking at this time of the year right here where it just really starts to turn. And I can, you know, I can remember, you know, it used to be you'd get all the magazines. Well, the magazines are hard to read now because there's so much change. And with the transfer portal, you can look at those magazines, but you know by August or September, that could change again. But what's good is, you know, usually the middle of July, you're starting to get these conference media days. You're starting to get more information from the conferences about scheduling. You're starting to get, you're getting excited because, you know, football season is real close.
Buck, always a pleasure, sir. We'll see you next week.
Hey, man, thanks. Y'all have a good one.
There he is. Mr. Charles Arbuckle joins us every Tuesday. A wealth, a plethora of wisdom there.